bank that will never cease letting them know why they're scorching in a burning sulfur pit. But for those of us that got a conscience, we can get hold to it now. That's why there should be no intimacy. That's why Frankie Lyman would say, why do fools fall in love? See? Why does a fool fall in love? There's a consequent for falling in love. There's a consequent of getting intimate. The consequent is not just today. Oh, yeah. Mark, go to, well, I think I'm going to go there, too. The consequent today for being intimate with each other is no longer just pregnancy coming up, but the consequent is AIDS.
Oh.
And I'm talking about Romans chapter 1. We want to take our Bibles and go there since we're Christians. And want to talk with some of you single Christians listening to me out there, because, see, you think that because the weekend is coming up, you can go on out and jump between the sheets and do whatever you want to do. And, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows it all right. You're a whoremonger. It tells me in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, it says, wait, let's start at verse 21. It says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God, nor give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, you can fool yourself and tell yourself, well, since I'm going to marry her, I got to find out if we're sexually compatible. So therefore, we got to jump in bed to see if this thing works. No, what you need to do is to ask her if she's a virgin. And then if she's a virgin, you need to speak to her and let her know if you're not a virgin, what the process is and how that may feel uncomfortable for her. But then you talk her through that. Hopefully she has a mother or someone that can speak with her about these kinds of things. But I don't think that that gives you the right to jump between the sheets on a Friday night to bust her hymen. And then you can say, well, yes, we compatible to get married. Because some of you, you know what? And I've heard the stories coming out of Eddie Long's church over there, because they kind of like believe this as a theological basis in some of these churches. Well, since you're going to get married, you got to have sex with the person. I'm going to tell you, the honeymoon night must be a disaster. Has to be a disaster. See, when my wife and I had the honeymoon night, hey, I'm going to tell you something. We didn't know each other like that prior to the honeymoon night. We did not know each other sexually prior to us getting married, prior to us being husband and wife. We didn't have that knowledge. We did not have, they call it carnal knowledge. We did not have that carnal knowledge of each other. Many of you have had that carnal knowledge. That's why after you got married, it wasn't no fireworks going off during the honeymoon night. You were just hitting it again.
Yeah.
You know, hit it again. Yes, Luther Vandross, hit it again. It ain't about that, friends. It's not about that. And that could be why some of our marriages are messed up. And look what it says in verse 24. It says, verse 24 of Romans chapter 1, therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, and that their bodies might be dishonored amongst them. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. That's why we love so much pornography. Once we get married, sometimes couples got to watch pornography before they have intimate relationships with each other. And it says, for the women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. That's why in a lot of marriages, they swap wives and husband. They invite their friends over and everybody jumping in the bed together.
Yeah.
You got menage a trois going on and everything else. And then they all go to church on Sunday and start screaming and shouting and speaking in tongues. And then you ask why there's so much AIDS and everything else going around. Verse 27 makes it perfectly clear that AIDS is on the horizon because of this kind of immorality that takes place. You see, my friends, the Bible addresses everything for the Christian. But Frankie asked, why do fools fall in love? I don't know why a fool would fall in love. Well, let me share something else with you. Let me see if this makes any sense to you. Listen, is this what you think of your wife? Listen.
Earth angel, will you be mine, my darling dear? Love you all the time. I'm just a fool, a fool in love with you.
Let me cut the music right there. Guys, do you see women as angels today? Or devils? You see, because that's what's happened. After 50 or 60 years, how do we view women today? Do we view them as Earth's angels? What's happening in the relationship between men and women today?
Adversarial.
Adversarial. So they're not viewed as Earth angels anymore. This is the way that a man felt about a woman. I went to an office of Social Security today. I had to take care of a little business. And I heard a lady outside speaking with the security guard. And she was quoting a song called Backstabbers. And that's what she was talking about.
Oh, geez.
Backstabbers. That's what she was quoting. And she said, life is just like that. And the people that you get with are just like that. And I just shook my head and I said, oh, my God.
Now, unfortunately for her, she's run into that kind of those kind of people that have stabbed her in the back.
Yes.
Trusting, draw her in for whatever reason, whatever circumstance, drawing her in. And the next thing you know, she's got a knife at her back.
Yes.
Done her wrong, twisted it around and kick her to the curb.
Yes. Yes. And
that's when, her frame of reference for right now.
Backstabbers.
Backstabbers.
See, but back in the day, it was Earth Angel.
Right.
That's the way you address the woman that you wanted to marry. And that's why the words made sense. Now, I don't know whether you youngsters ever completely listen to the words, but let's try to listen to phrase number two.
The one I adore.
The one I adore. Now, listen to how he speaks to the one that he adores.
Love you forever and evermore.
He said he's going to love her forever and forevermore. Now, you would say, man, you just fool, man. You can't love that woman like that. But look what he says.
I'm just a fool.
He admits that he's a fool.
A fool in love.
A fool in love.
With you.
With him. There it is.
That's a point, Pastor John. People now don't think things last because they are void of God.
Right.
They don't know about everlasting.
Right.
You know, they don't know about those kind of things. Everything is temporary to people now.
Right.
So they don't see anything, especially love with another person,
right,
lasting more than a couple months, a couple years. I mean, they have the reference of their home life,
mm-hmm,
whatever may happen to their brothers and sisters. But basically, that's what's going on. They don't see anything lasting because God has been taken away when it comes to eternity, those kind of thoughts and conversations.
You know, you're absolutely correct. And this is why it is important for us to have these discussions. And I can hear some of the women talking in the background. He said, you know, it seems like you're pretty cold on us women. I'm saying, no, I'm not cold on you women, because I know that a lot of guys out there have become so feminized and so inconsistent with Christian behavior that I wouldn't get with him either.
Right.
I mean, it's a danger getting with some of these guys.
Yeah, backstabbers.
Yes. I mean, some of these guys are treacherous. They're worse than women. They're feminized men. They don't know how to be with women, to appreciate women. So I'm in agreement, especially a man that will not get up and go to work and to provide some kind of life for the woman. It's like I knew that it was my obligation to get a home for my wife and to provide a life for her. But at the very same time, it was not my obligation or my role to give her what she wanted outside of what I could afford. You know, I find men today that are rushing to please their wives to the, you know, well, look at the kind of house. Let me pick a famous person. Look at the kind of house Kobe Bryant has for his wife. Wait a minute. That man's making millions and millions and millions of dollars. Well, you need to go out and make millions and millions and millions of dollars. Sorry, but they don't pay college professors millions of dollars. They don't pay pastors, or do they? Well, maybe they do pay pastors millions, pimping pastors. But I'm not that kind of a pastor. No, a pastor's not making a lot of money. The pastor's making just enough money to survive, because that's all he needs to make, just enough money to keep the lessons coming out.
I think you meant hirelings.
Thank you. And there's a grave difference between the two. So what we've discussed today are some very, very important things about marriage. All right? We've looked at some of the marriage counseling formats, and we've paid attention to what the couples have to go through during their lives. Another, I guess for the last 10 minutes in the presentation, we got to talk about, what are you guys arguing about? What do you argue about? You got to ask yourself this question. Do I argue about my family or her family several times, once or twice, never, or all the time? Are you always arguing about people? Some of the other things, do you argue about, is where you're going, about your friends, what friends you should have, all those kinds of things. Lucy and I practically never argued. Mark, you spend a lot of time around us.
Right.
You ever see us going off on each other? I mean, really, just going off.
No.
No. And we weren't hiding anything from you. You know, if something bothered her, she'd just storm out and go into the other room. I'd go out into my study and say, hey, she hasn't spoken to me for 3 days.
You know what? I've seen you guys go at it. But you are not, you two are not vicious, because I wouldn't be over here if that's what it was.
Right.
But there are times when husbands and wives have conversations that aren't always calm voices. And that's part of life.
Right.
That's the way things happen. Everybody listening, marriage isn't always, as they say, you know, peaches and cream and ice cream and cake all the time. There are some days when the husband has to say some things to his wife, and sometimes the wife has to say some things to her husband that he probably won't like. But if he actually listens to what she says, and if she's the sensitive woman, she's telling the truth, he's telling the truth, both people have to listen and take their own medicine sometime.
Yeah. That's there's just so much to discuss.
Yeah.
So much to discuss, and not enough time to discuss it all. But I got about, 11 more sessions to talk about that. When we begin the next time, I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to fill in some of the answers for you so that I have the answers down. But I want you to think about this. What 6 things do you most want to accomplish during the next 5 years if you're married? I want you to think about that before we come on the next time. I want you to think about the 6 things that are important in your marriage relationship to accomplish within the next 5 years. Please don't say buy a house, because the housing industry is shot. You need to get that up. Quiet as kept, you don't need a house if you don't already have a house. If you have a house, that's a fine thing for you to get, but don't get married and so that you can get a house together. When Lucy and I got married, we got married in 1967. We didn't buy our first house until 1972. So that's 7 years after we got married. And I'm in the same house that we bought in 1972. And it's a very small house. And I'll just let you know how, you guys want to know how things have changed. This house was selling for $18,500 when I bought it. Now, there you go. That's how long ago I bought this house. You say, what? My car costs $46,000. So that lets you know how long ago I bought this house. See what I'm talking about? God only knows what this piece of junk is selling for now. So the house is not what you need to accomplish within the next 5 years of your life. Think about those things. Talk it over with yourselves. And we'll see where that leads you to. Now, I'm trying to think. Let me choose a real nice record the last 5 minutes to end up with. So, Mark, I want to thank you for coming down to the studio tonight. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
And Bob Klink, Lord willing, will be back next week. It has been a good couple of hours. This is our, let me see, since this is the Saturday night webcast. This is number 10. So we got 10 more to go. For those of you that are married and thinking about married, this is the attitude that you should have towards your spouse.
Only you can to make all this world seem right. Only you can to make the darkness bright. Only you and you alone can thrill me like you do and fill my heart with love, for only you, only you can to make all this change in me.
When you